Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast with more celebrities in the inauguration. This is your host, cruise director and groove mistress, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jennifer Perry. And tonight, having a little challenges getting started tonight, but I'm here and I have a fascinating guest for you tonight, as always. And by the way, if you're listening live tonight, if you haven't subscribed, please do, because all of you people, wonderful people that subscribe, that leave messages, that call in, that follow, you help me to get all these fantastic guests I have and fantastic guests I have coming up and the fascinating woman I have tonight. So I want to go ahead and get right in here and introduce you to Jamila Woods. Jamila, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I was having a little trouble, as you probably know, so sorry about that.
That's okay.
But
actually, Ford is my last name.
Ford, I'm sorry, there's a Jamila Woods I follow on somewhere. I'm sorry, Jamila, but
there is.
Jamila,
she's awesome.
Let's pronounce it.
I like her too.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Jamila Ford. Okay, I'm so sorry.
All good.
That's because I got a little tense. You know what it's like when you've got a show to do as a podcast or a gig or anything, and if you have any kind of equipment troubles, you know, maybe not you because you're a true professional, but with me, I kind of get a little off, like, oh my gosh, get a little unsteady, a little unbalanced. But
oh no, I hear you. Well, you know what? My show's not live either, so. I give you props for doing it that way.
Hey, you're a wise woman, let me tell you. Well, welcome finally to Madame Perry Salon. I am thrilled to have you on here. And letting people know you're a singer, songwriter, musician. You've got amazing, you were known for your amazing chops, in fact, a singer. And I noticed that on a bio or something I read about you, it said her slight frame belies a bewitchingly powerful yet smooth mezzo-soprano voice. And you know, you hear your voice, and it can be soft, and it can be big and powerful. And then we see you, and you go, "Where in this woman does this all of this sound, this talent come out?" So, tell us about you and how you started in music in the first place.
Oh gosh, let me see. How did I start? You know, I've been singing since I was a little kid. Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. I kind of remember being in the laundry room of our apartment building, and I think I was about 7, and I started singing to myself, just making up a little song, and I thought, oh, I think I sound pretty good. So that's like when I first started, kind of, you know, had a little inkling that I could sing. You know, and then sort of from there, it just kind of grew. I wasn't really like a church singer or anything. We went to kind of a stodgy Catholic church. They weren't like, you know, nothing was rocking and rolling on Sundays. But I did, you know, sing in school. And my school principal, actually, my high school principal is the one who'd gotten me to join choir. I needed to choose an elective, and I wanted to just take typing because I was horrible at typing, and I thought I needed the practice. And he was like, "Typing? No, you're joining the choir." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I did that. And that kind of like got me into it a little more seriously. Then I started taking lessons and really studying, and then I ended up majoring in music in college, and you know, just kind of really started taking it seriously in high school. So, yeah.
Yes, yeah, so you went to University of California, Riverside, studied music?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I guess you got your bachelor's, but then I guess you did your, let's say, graduate work, your master's and so forth, as a live performer around the world, as a solo artist, and as a backing vocalist. So that's where you get your...
Yes. That's
what they don't teach
you
in
school.
Yeah,
that's where you really learn. Yeah, that's where all the real lessons were, I gotta say. All of my best music lessons were out on the road and out on the stage, and you know what you're really gonna I actually had somebody tell me the other day, you know, the real work is not like learning the music. The actual work is like those other 22 hours that you spend kind of dealing with the other musicians. There's 2 hours you've got on the stage. I'm totally like ruining the story. Okay, but there's two hours on the stage, and then the other 22 hours you're on the road with the other musicians is where the actual work is, because you're trying to relate. You have to, you know, just kind of like deal with people, and your people skills are where your like work actually comes in, and hopefully you're actually good at what you do and all of that. But you know, the work is really with dealing with other people, and hopefully you can do that well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. You know, people, we get attached to our favorite bands, especially if it's a band you like when you're growing up and you love them, and you find the band is broken up or somebody that has a problem or an issue, and we think, oh, no, you can't. It's like mom and dad can't, you know, break up or something. You know, it's like we take it personally, you know, when we're young.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
But, yeah, excellent point. So there's a whole lot more involved. Also, and I guess I was going to ask you about this later when we talk about your podcast, but I, as a professional vocalist, and you've worked with, I mean, Seal, Angelo from Fishbone, you did the Coachella Festival, was Spiritualized, a Body Pointer. I saw the Pointer Sisters live once. And a lot, you did a lot of work. Did you ever... I mean, does it ever get not exciting when you go on stage, when you're working with so many fantastic talents?
Oh, gosh.
Does it ever get like just another day at the office?
No, you know, I think if you're, like, I've always stayed a student. I mean, you know, kind of watching, when I get the chance to watch somebody who's kind of operating at that level, I watch everything they do. And so, no, it never gets boring, I should say. Mm-hmm. I'm always fascinated, you know, like, feel with somebody. I've kind of done, you know, a one-off with him here in L.A. after David Bowie passed. A friend of mine put together a sort of a retrospective, but it was just of everybody who he somehow got together, everybody who'd ever played with Bowie or recorded with him, or just like anybody you can think of if you're familiar mm-hmm. with all of those musicians. And Seal happened to be a part of that show, and you know, so we got to work with him, and just watching him and the way that he kind of owned the stage and took his time and did not rush, you know, the music was going, but he came in when he was ready. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just like a big lesson, because sometimes I found for myself, I just kind of want to rush, get the song started. I don't want anybody to have to wait on me. I don't even know what that is in my personality, but you know, just like watching him, like, just take his time, and you see, like, some of those performers that are, you know, really operating at that level, they really own the stage, and they own their own performance and their artistry. And you know, so all that to say, I mean, I never get tired of watching somebody do that. You know, it's always a great lesson.
Let me ask you, when you talk about people like Steele coming out, taking his time, owning the stage and watching other people, mm-hmm. and I imagine mm-hmm. that's got to be the master class to end all, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know, you just reminded me of years ago when I knew I wanted to get out and sing, but I had to get over a terrible shyness and stage fright. And I did it by taking a course in stand-up comedy where –
Mm.
You know, that's about as naked as you can get, and that's wrong. And so doing stand-up, and I remember learning in the class that everything you do from the moment you walk out, every step, the way you step, the way you approach the microphone, everything you do, the way your hands, your movements, your gestures, set the audience up to know
mm-hmm.
whether you're comfortable and know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, and I see, and then when I watch people after that, I realize, yes, that lets them know. They don't, you may not know it as you're watching somebody, but you get a comfort about you. This is a pro. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this rather than, oh, here's a, this is raw meat. We're going to tear them up, you know, with the heck.
Absolutely.
Hackers. excuse me, what kind of things did you learn, and do you share a lot of this information? I mean, I know I've listened to your podcast, The Working Singer, but do you share a lot of stuff like this with the show, with your listeners?
Oh yeah, you know, if it comes up, our topics are so we cover so much, but yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't spent a ton of time talking about myself now that I think about it, because I'm interviewing people.
I've noticed that too. Yeah.
But yeah, I just lost what I was going to say. I think that, that kind of stuff is definitely, you know, valuable. I'd had a coach tell me that, you know, that song, the song begins before you even start singing, really before you step out on the stage. You need to be in your performance, be in that song, and, you know, have it, bless you, did you say? And have it really going. You're welcome. Really be in it before you even step onto the stage. So that makes perfect sense. That totally resonates with me, what you got out of that class. And bravo to you. Did you have to actually perform out doing stand-up? Was that part of the class?
Yes, but the thing is, though, the way the teacher who does, you know, was a professional, does lots of, a lot of corporate mm-hmm. work, he set you up to teach you how to write, how to walk out, how to write, how to pace, how to time, and, you know, how to edit your work before you use anything. And also, But then again, we all encouraged each other and gave support. So by the time we did our graduation, which was at one of the biggest comedy club in Atlanta, everything is stacked in your favor because the people are supposed to, they say we want everyone there on time, which is about an hour before we started, or hour and a half. This was an hour before, then the teacher does his thing, and then you know, this is no joke, this is true. That way people have had enough time to drink and get comfortable. And
yeah.
We also had to give him a copy of what we were going to do, our material for the night. He said, if you forget, you know, I'll give you your line. Of course, we're thinking, oh, what could be more mortifying than that? But he did it in a way to where it wasn't embarrassing to us and made it fun with us, you know. So, yeah, we were set up to do okay
succeed.
And have a good time.
Yeah.
Plus, you got your friends and family there packing the place out. So
that's great.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah,
wow.
Definitely. But you learned a lot about, you know, again, edit your work. Because, you know, there's different things in music. Like with comedy, they say, and this was important, and when I say this, and you probably know this already, but once you hear this, you'll understand why some comics aren't as funny. It's the fewer syllables between the beginning, between your first word and your punchline, the bigger the laugh.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you've got it tied to as few syllables or a few words as possible, then you realize why it's never funny when somebody starts off with, so there was this guy, and like, you really, really like pancakes, okay? I mean, I really like pancakes. So then he goes with his friends to this pancake store. They have all kind of, you know, you're thinking, okay, I'm asleep already. So, you know, but it's quick. Guy goes to the pancake store, you know, bam, bam. So, you know, like with
right.
some people with, yeah.
Cut
there's
the
a
fat.
Way.
Got it.
Yeah. Now, when did you're also a songwriter, and I've watched videos of you singing your own songs, your original songs. You talked about, you know, kind of making up songs as a kid. Did you go ahead and start writing music when you were in high school or wait till you were in college?
I really started in college. I tried to write a little in high school. I was, you know, I was always singing along and studying songs, but I don't think I had much to say until college, you know, until I started dating and all that kind of thing. And I think that's where I started to, you know, kind of find my voice as a songwriter. So,
your personal experiences.
I think that's a lifelong, personal experiences, getting yourself into the mud. And, you know, writing about it. I guess that's where the artistry starts coming in.
So how often now? I've seen, I know that last November, I saw on your website that you were, last December, a Pretzel Logic Steely Dan review. And Seal Beach, California. Yeah. Oh, is that fun music to do?
Oh, it's awesome. I love it. I've been working with that Pretzel Logic Steely Dan review maybe 3 years now, 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I started off just kind of subbing for one of the other women when they couldn't make the show. And then they asked me to come on as a member. And, you know, that was my first time really digging into Steely Dan's music, and I definitely heard like the hits, you know, Josie and Reelin' in the Years, I've said to people, like, generally I don't generally get into some artists until I start having to, you know, study the music basically. So that music is, I mean, yeah, it's just so amazing. I'm definitely, you know, a fan of it. And the band itself, Pretzel Logic, you know, they've been together almost 20 years and are really incredible. Just a really tight band. You know, they've had a lot of time with the music, obviously. and they're just really incredible, just really impeccable musicians.
Yeah, there's a I occasionally sing with a band that does tributes. Like it'll be, you know, Steely Dan one night or Police and Sting one night. And yeah, I discovered, even though I knew the hits and knew some Steely Dan music, I think I'd only had one actual album before or CD. And getting deeper into the catalog, great music.
Yeah,
which makes it even more exciting to do. Do you? What do you? What is your favorite thing to do? I mean, when I see you, I've seen you at on video at a picture of you at Don't Tell Mama that I was sharing everywhere. And that's in New York City, right?
They had they had one in West Hollywood for a little while there. So that was the one performed at. Yeah, and then it closed pretty. I don't think it was only open like maybe a year. But we had quite a few events there. But I'd say my favorite music to do, I do love to sing jazz. I love singing everything. But I do love singing jazz, and I do love to, you know, go in and improvise. And, you know, I love the fact that every time there can be songs that I've been singing for 20 years, and every time I sing them, they're different. I just love about it that, it's just kind of a common language amongst, you know, musicians who kind of know the music. Everybody kind of plays it a little bit differently, and everybody's got their own interpretation. So it's always fresh, even if you could do the same song every night, but it's always going to be different and unique depending on, you know, who's playing it. I would say I love that the most. You know, with all of the improvisation and just kind of being able to express myself. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, I just love to sing everything, so.
Yeah, it's like that, you know, there's the expression, I think it's like a bad day fishing is still better than a good day at the office. And same, you know, with music, even a gig, you can go into a gig, I think sometimes just feeling like you've had the worst day, but once you get in with the music, I don't know what it is, but especially with something about the sounds and the rhythms, I don't know, the vibrations from the instruments. I just think it's very revitalizing. And,
yeah.
And I picture you as being somebody that you come on and you really, I can see just from from the videos and then from listening to you, that you really get in touch with your audience. I mean, that there's that, you know, the feeling when you're singing and the audience is right there with you and that you could feed off their energy.
Yeah, I love to, I love singing live. I need to do more of it. I've been focusing so much on my podcast. That does take up a lot of time, but I do love to get in front of an audience and kind of, you know, get into the story with them and, yeah, I mean, it's such a shared experience, even though maybe they're, you know, kind of sitting there watching me. But I do love sharing the songs and the stories and everything with them.
That's kind of just a nice communal thing, just like a communing with the audience and
right,
sharing things. Well, why don't you come sing in Atlanta? That's what I want to know. I mean, you know, we got places
I'd love
here.
To. I would love to.
Have you been
Please,
to Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while, but I would love to come to Atlanta. You can show me around, please.
I'd be happy
I'd love
to Atlanta. I would definitely love you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So when did you start the Working Singer podcast, and what brought that about?
Let me see. I decided to start it after I was kind of slumping, I guess. I wasn't really, you know, getting much work, and I wasn't doing anything new. I just kind of needed to be revitalized and maybe explore other things about myself, other parts of my talent, you know, and I was, I think for many years I'd had a very narrow view of what I was supposed to do on earth, to be honest. And when you do that, I think you kind of stagnate, and it's very, you know, easy to get stuck and feel frustrated if all you think is, okay, I'm just here to sing, be a singer, and that's kind of it, and not really, you know, think about other things that I could do. So, you know, I'd had the idea to kind of do a kind of talk show, but at the time I'd had the idea, it was a little harder to put together a podcast, and then when I came back around and revisited the idea, it was easier, and that was around 2017, 2018, and then I just started interviewing my friends. You know, I just did it little by little, started figuring it out, and by January 2019, I started releasing episodes, and I have so far released, you know, 53 episodes, I think, and maybe around 7 bonus episodes, so around 60 episodes. I just released one episode every week, and, you know, it was kind of a challenge to myself to kind of be consistent, to push myself, and just in a new way, you know, it was, mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, that was something that, like with the singing when I was like 7, I felt like a show like that was something I might be good at. I just kind of had an inkling, and it was something I had the desire to do. And once I allowed myself to actually do it, you know, it's just kind of taken off a bit. And, you know, I'm just looking to grow it. I'd love to get sponsors and all of that. But it's just been really wonderful just in terms of building community in LA, which isn't the easiest thing.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because we're all, I think one thing, at least geographically, we're all spread out. And so you can really psych yourself out of even driving places because it can be very difficult to get anywhere.
I know what you mean.
So that's kind of one thing. And then the other is, you know, you just kind of get here. And you might, I think people sometimes feel displaced if they don't really know anybody. They can also feel like, you know, you might be approached by a lot of people who want to see what they can get from you, who want to see if you're doing anything, if you, what can you do to enhance their life and career. And it's pretty much about all about them and not really about, you know, having any real genuine kind of connection. So you can find that a lot. I found, but I also think that if you are coming from a genuine place, you're going to attract other people who are genuine and want that community. And that's what this podcast has really been able to do. You know, I've put on a few events throughout the year, and people have made like genuine friendships going to those events. You know, they started making those friendships. And I thought that, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I thought you guys came in here knowing each other. There's like a few people like that. And they're like, no, we met at the event. I was like, oh, that's so awesome. That's great. You know,
that's wonderful.
So people feel like I think, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know, you want to come out of the womb and then foster other people, you know, just kind of connecting and maybe staving off that loneliness or whatever that we all feel sometimes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And, you know, the way you described it earlier, it's like, yes, it is. It can be a very user-friendly business, emphasis on the user.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always somebody, you know, what can you do? What can you get? And is somebody ready to, it's just like if you have somebody, and I'm sure you know this, I'm sure this is universal, like when you need to sub a gig for some reason, you know, whether it's a musician or it's like, okay, who do I know that will sub for me and do a good job, but not try to, as we call it, snake my gig, take my gig, you know, whatever. Try to weasel out under me. You know, there's always that kind of thing. But what you're doing, I mean, like, I think, like, you did one, November at the Boulevard Bar in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
It was our Worst of Singer podcast, Sing and Hang. I mean, it sounds like so much fun. And, yeah, you're fostering the community of musicians and making a good, safe place to thrive and meet other people. I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's the magnificent thing to do, Jamila.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's
I'm talking to tonight the fabulous Jamila Ford. She's a singer, musician, songwriter, podcaster. And if you want to talk to her, you can call 646-716-9922. Or my people who can't make a phone call because they're at a job and have to sneak in a message, you can always message me with a question or a comment, and I'll definitely let her know. And I'm going to be back in 1 minute because I've got a message from my friend Charles. We'll be right back.
So, Chuck, talk to us about Fizdale being the Knicks' new coach. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you right now, Ernie, it don't matter who gonna coach this team. They don't got no talent on
they
it. And I don't really feel like talk.
That's kind of hard.
I don't feel like talk about the Knicks right
you
now.
Want to talk about lunch?
No.
What would you like to talk about, Chuck?
See, Ernie, I've been listening to a podcast called Madame Perry's Salon. And I think Jennifer Perry, she's a great host. I mean, she got all these bestseller authors, Rostar, all the comedians.
What about people that don't have rings?
Here we go.
I got
real fun
rings.
But I think she's great, and I think people would love her show. She got a great laugh. She make the laugh come out of nowhere like an eagle come in there and just steal the whole show. It's a beautiful thing. It's not terrible.
All right. This is Jennifer Perry. This is Madame Perry Salon. Back with Jamila Ford, singer, songwriter, and podcaster, musician, and doing fantastic things, not only singing around the world, not only being nominated for Grammy for Best Jazz Vocal Album for The Deep End, Best Engineered Album, Best New Artist.
Yeah.
You've been critically acclaimed, and you do such, you know, it's, I can't imagine how hard it would be. I know Atlanta is one thing, and I've also sung in New York. I've never sung in Los Angeles. I can't imagine all the competition and show business there, and what it's like, and yet you've made such a fantastic career already. With the Working Singer podcast, too, and I like this idea. I would love to be out there when you have one of the live ones, the Working Singer podcast, Sing and Hang. I mean, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But when, you know, on one of your podcasts I listened to, one of the episodes, because you have so many things. And by the way, the website is Jamila Ford, JAMILAFORD.com. And for the podcast, it's the WorkingSingerPodcast.com. And if you're driving, like some people are, or you're in a place where you can't write it down, don't worry. I will be sharing all of Jamila Ford's social media, website addresses, and everything on all of my social media, both as Madame Perry Salon and as Jennifer Perry and Lone Wolf. I will be sharing it all. But looking at some of the topics on the episodes, benefits of hypnotherapy for performers. I've used that once. That's very valuable. How to become a versatile singer. This self-care and holistic healing, science of switching on. I mean, all these are just brilliant. And the harsh reality of singing on reality TV. And then I listened to one version about work where the woman was talking about working on cruise ships. I don't remember who it was.
Oh,
you've had Sheila Jordan on, too.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. Yeah.
Movement for singers. These are all valuable things that it's hard to find. I read once in a book about singing that if your friends, if your friends don't think that you're a hypochondriac, then you're not taking care of your voice. What do you say?
Wow, yeah. Huh, that's interesting. I have not heard that before. That's... yeah. Well, you know, somebody the other day had said, I think it was Lynn Hilton who on the hypnotherapy episode that I just put out. She'd said, you know, if you're singing at any kind of professional level, you can pretty much expect things will go wrong. And so you really need to be on top of, you know, having your vocal health together, having your kind of regimen, and also having an ENT that you can go to. You know, I think that it's also like really important to know your own voice. I mean, people say so many different things about vocal health, and sometimes just like sort of, you know, lately the dairy thing has been coming up. Now, for me, you know, just the fact of like all of the things you can eat before you sing, all the things you should not eat, things you should drink or shouldn't drink or whatever, and then it just becomes just sort of like a universal thing instead of maybe applying to an individual, which, you know, I think it's a good idea to know like what's going to work for you and what isn't going to work for you, and maybe not try to push that kind of you know, sort of philosophies on other people. All that to say, I'd had a discussion with somebody about dairy and whether or not you should have it before you sing, and they said it was kind of neither proven or disproven that it's good or bad for a singer before they sing. And I said, personally for myself, I don't have a good experience, so I just don't have it. And you know, I think that you know, I don't know, if everybody thought I was a hypochondriac, that might drive everybody crazy. I mean, all that to say, I kind of keep my you know, my stuff to myself. I handle my stuff, but you know, I don't know. I never want to drive anybody nuts with my own, you know, my own proclivities. Or whatever. Let's say. Yeah, if that makes any sense at all. But
yeah, I got you. Well, you know, everybody's got their own, as you said, everybody's got do this, you don't do that, no do it, whatever. So, and I think some things, yes, you have to react to your own physiology.
Yeah.
You know, some
and
people.
You know, it's a bad experience if you're allergic to it. So, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm allergic. So I just don't have any. Yeah.
So, what is on your to do list or to sing list or to go perform at list or whatever for 2020?
That's a good question. Well, you know, I'd like to do one or two more singer retreats. I'd actually done one last October, sort of around the podcast, and that was a really nice experience. So it would be really nice to do that again. So I do have to get the ball rolling on that if I'm going to do it. And what else? I want to do more performing on my own because I used to do a lot, and I haven't done much lately, and I do have a lot of new songs I could be debuting. So, you know, it would just be great to just kind of get on stage again and you know, kind of rediscover myself as an artist, I suppose. Because I do spend a lot of time singing for other people and all of that, and that's cool. But it's been a while since I've gotten up and just kind of been up there alone and kind of told my own story. So that's a goal for the year, just to do that a few times, I think would be valuable.
That's a quite a way of saying it, your own story. Your own story. I was reading the feature on you in Voyage LA magazine. And by the way, your pictures, I mean, you are so gorgeous. Just beautiful pictures of you. Your voice is gorgeous. And I noticed that in that you were, what was the question they were asking you about podcast and also about characteristics or qualities that you feel are essential to success. And talking about, you know, being okay with failing, but also the how you have to take some vulnerability to just put yourself out there for one thing. But
mm-hmm.
the other thing I want to see, what was the one thing, one question I wanted to, I mean, one comment you made about how you have to just have some faith in yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's the way you said about being, you have to just show up and you know, bet on yourself or put your,
mm-hmm.
have faith. Is that some of one of the best things, bits of advice you'd give a young
yeah.
artist starting out?
I think, you know, the second you decide to stop betting on yourself, that's, you're dead in the water. You have to believe in yourself. I mean, you know, I've kind of been there where I've been at a low point and just thought, oh my God, you know, had one of those what's it all for moments. That is not a good place to be, and you cannot proceed or make any headway if that's the place you're trying to lead from, because people sense it, you know, even if you're trying to put your best face and foot forward, it's going to permeate everything you do. So you have to do whatever you can, you know, explore the world and see what's available. You know, look into hypnotherapy, look at your spirituality, talk to other, you know, fellow singers or whatever line of work it is you're in, and have a support system, because, you know, having that, you know, faith in yourself, is really just the only way to move forward. I've been through my stuff, and I've had to kind of figure out what that means for me, and kind of just, you know, just keep redefining what does it mean for me to have faith in myself? What does it mean to believe in myself? What does that look like? What does self-respect look like? And all of it. So,
And I think that, further on in that paragraph, you were saying we consider ourselves a small business, and
mm-hmm.
if you don't have that confidence, openness, you're going to have a tough time moving forward.
Yeah.
Then you say the great thing is it's not impossible to get it. You just have to get out there.
Yeah. And just try stuff. I mean, just put, you know, I'd read this really great book last year called, what was it? It'll come to me, but it was basically about procrastination, which I didn't, or perfectionism, I should say, which I didn't realize maybe I was, because I wasn't finishing a lot of things. But they do say in the book, you know, the person has spent a lot of time studying perfectionism. Oh, it's the gift of done. That's what it is. The gift of done, or the gift of finishing, something like that. I'll get it. But, you know, he was just like, you don't let yourself finish because you're worried about the outcome. You're worried about it being perfect or not being good enough. And so you sink yourself into a hole, basically, and so you're so, like, you know, controlling of it. We get so controlling over things that we don't allow them to just kind of flower and blossom and see what they become. So that was, you know, that was a really, I mean, just like talks about all of the ways that we do that. And then when I thought about, you know, when I thought about it, and I thought about the people who I know, or who I've met in my life, who kind of almost wear it as a badge of honor, you know, being a perfectionist, but they never, like, put out their projects because they're strangling it. They're, like, holding it so tightly. It needs to be perfect before I, you know, show it to anybody. And it's just like, well, what is perfect? What does that even mean, you know? And in the book, the guy talks about, you know, done being better than perfect. getting it done, letting it have a life, seeing how it's received, and then, like, improving upon it. You know, that's kind of the best you can do.
Okay, I found it. Finished. Give Yourself the Gift of Done by John Acuff.
Thank you. Yes, that's it.
One
of the best
books
I've ever read.
I've heard that procrastinators are perfectionists, and we just don't want anything out because it's not finished and it's not perfect, so we procrastinate. That's one reason anyway. And so as soon as you started talking about this, like, I got to find this.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what does perfect mean? It's just like perfect's not happening. You know, you're just not going to. What does it look like?
And would you really enjoy it as much? I know a woman, a musician and a producer in Atlanta, Edie Vogt, and I remember talking to some musicians once that were this was back when I had a television show, and one band said, yeah, Dee Dee produced our album, and he said, when I got to my sax solo, I know I had one mess up, but like a little chirp. Ask, we got to do. She goes, no, leave it in. It's just perfect. Leave that chirp in. There's something about it, you know. It's real. It's perfect. But okay, I don't know how to say it, but I think I get it. You know, it's like a real thing. It just makes it sound not too polished. It makes it sound real. It reaches the soul. That's when you get to the person, to your when it speaks to you when it's real.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, you hear about those, like, happy accidents in a song, those things that were, like, unintended, but it's just like, oh, wait, that like, totally makes the song, and nobody planned it. You know, you have to just kind of have sort of a loose, tight thing going on. You know, you've kind of got your standards, but you've got to be flexible. I mean, you know, we have to be open.
Indeed, yes, and that's where, like I said, that's where the magic comes in sometimes, and that's when you least expect it. I am so thankful that that you were so generous with your time tonight to come to Madame Perry Salon. I do hope you'll come back, and I do want to see you live and in person, whether it's L.A., Atlanta, somewhere else, but I will definitely be sharing all of your social media on mine, and also where people can get a copy of your CD, The Deep End.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You can find that on CD Baby. You can find it on my website, jamilaford.com. But thank you so much. I really enjoyed speaking with you today. I appreciate you having me.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. And I mean, and two, you talked in that article about, you know, having to go ask certain people to be on your podcast, you know, and but to them, you know, and I felt the same way. I thought, okay, what if Jamila Ford goes, Madame Perry, who is she? You know, but yeah, you have to go up and ask people and then here you are. So thank you so much. And we look forward to more of your career and learning more about you. Hopefully, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to nag, but hopefully you'll have another CD for us too. You can't just get us hooked on one and then just leave us, okay?
Oh yeah. Well, I have four actually.
Oh, four. Okay.
So yeah.
Just when you think you've done your homework.
There's more
for
you.
Okay. All right. I will be sharing that. And we hope we see you. And hey, get on the road. You know, I keep having this fantasy that one day, because, you know, I'm an entertainment publicist, but I'm always talking about some of the guests I've had on the show as well as clients. I want to get a big tour bus, a fantasy one like country singers have, and just go across the country. We'll do the show. Some people get on for a few cities. Some of them get off, somebody else gets on. But the point is, we'll just have a big show everywhere we go. And you know, we're going to swing through L.A. and pick you up, Jamila Ford.
Oh, thank you. I look forward to that.
Thank you so much. And see you next Monday. We have Jeff Carlson.